Now, as we mentioned on the show yesterday, leading veterinary professionals from all over the world have gathered at the Convention Centre for the Congress of the World Veterinary Association. Vets, researchers, those working behind the scenes, etc., they're all presenting papers and learning from one another about things like new surgical techniques, animal cancer treatment, and also looking at how the health of animals and humans intersects. And it's into that latter space that I want to step today as we ponder the ongoing effort to rid the world of rabies. With me on the line is Kevin LaRue, who is the chair of the South African Rabies Advisory Group. He has spent decades working in the field of rabies research and control, both at home and internationally, and that includes advising the World Health Organization on setting up its global framework for rabies elimination. Kevin, thank you so much for stepping away from the conference to make time to speak to us today. It's great to have you on the show.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sure. I know the goal of that WHO framework is called Zero by 30. Can you explain a little bit more for us what that means in practice? What is the ambition?
So Zero by 30 is the idea that we can stop all dog-mediated human rabies by 2030. So rabies can be transmitted by a number of animals, but 99% of rabies in humans is transmitted by dogs. And there's many, many examples all over the world of how countries have actually eliminated rabies in dogs. And the 2030 goal is that by 2030, countries will follow a program and we will actually vaccinate our dogs en masse and then eliminate the disease, or eliminate rabies transmitted to humans by dogs, which is 99% of the problem.
The big problem is around, obviously, getting unvaccinated dogs vaccinated. But Kevin, it's also around awareness of the need for speed in cases like this. My understanding is that you have to move very, very fast if somebody has been bitten by a dog with rabies to be able to sort of interject and treat in time. Am I correct in thinking that?
Absolutely. Your time is everything. You have the virus that's injected into a person through a bite, normally, in the saliva, and you need to deal with that at its source, because once that virus enters a nerve of the body, basically it's over, and that virus will transmit or it will move up the nerves and then kill the person. And it's the most deadly disease known to man. So that intervention happens just at that point of bite, and so within hours or maybe sort of 24 hours, you need to get treated to stop that virus settling itself into a nerve.
And it's an absolutely ghastly death. To add to that, it's really something that you would never want to wish on your worst enemy. Kevin, obviously terrible for the animals infected as well, but I hear your emphasis on the fact that this is about reducing human deaths from rabies. As a matter of interest, how many deaths from rabies are there in humans in an average year?
It's not a large number that's actually diagnosed. It's around about 20. But there's a lot that fall through the cracks, especially in deep rural areas where it's just not picked up. Initially, it can be confused with other conditions or mistaken. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that die that we just don't know about. But it's not a big number, and that's part of the problem why we can't get it prioritized, because it's actually a small number. But as you said, it's such a horrific way to die.
Yeah.
And really is the foundation of all horror stories, if you think
yes.
about it. Yeah.
Kevin, now, as you said, the terrible thing being that this is a completely preventable death. If we were able to ensure full vaccination, there would be no more deaths by rabies. Now, let's talk about some of the logistics that make that a difficult goal to achieve. What are the big challenges in terms of reaching the numbers of dogs that you need to?
Well, it needs mass mobilization, as you can imagine. And the three main source areas of dog rabies in South Africa are the Eastern Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, and the former Transkei of the Eastern Cape. And most of these places or source areas of the disease are remote rural areas where service delivery is poor. And so mobilizing teams and an organization to en masse get out there and vaccinate all of the dogs is very, very difficult. Mm. And the logistics, and it takes leadership serious leadership and a lot of input. And you need that large foundation of veterinary services. And it's a one health disease, so everybody working together to get it done. And there's a lot of challenges. And like in KwaZulu-Natal, there's the problem of hijackings. Mm. Teams get hijacked when they go and try and vaccinate. And so it's kind of COVID, we learned a lot how difficult it is to mass mobilize. And that's the challenge with this.
I just want to say for anybody who's come in midway in the conversation, my guest on the line to us is Kevin LaRue, chair of the South African Rabies Advisory Group, presenting a paper at the International Veterinary Conference, which is underway this week, on the goal of 0 by 30, no dog-mediated human deaths from rabies by the year 2030. A problem for us here in South Africa, but one that has to be tackled all over the world. Now, Darren asking, how effective is the rabies vaccination in humans? He says, I've had 3 jabs in my time. Let's talk about vaccination schedules for dogs and for humans, Kevin.
Okay, so for dogs, you need to vaccinate the first time when the dog is 3 months old. Then you have a second booster before it's a year old, a month after the first one. And then after that, by law, it's every 3 years, unless it's specified within your province that you must do it annually, which is a specification that's put forward by the director of that province. Okay. For dogs. In humans, only really professionals that are working with dogs all the time, or welfare people, veterinarians, people that are in contact with animals get vaccinated before being bitten, pre-exposure. Yeah. And they receive 2 shots, day 0 and day 7. And then after that, you check their titers and you boost them if they wane, or if very high risk people get done every 2 years. But it's too expensive to vaccinate the general populace.
Right.
But if you are treated, the World Health Organization says if you're bitten and you're treated correctly, and there's quite a number of steps to the treatment, that it's virtually 100%
if treated correctly. Okay.
If treated correctly. So that's timeously, yeah, correct follow-up treatments, et cetera, et cetera.
And again, just to emphasize timelessly being the key thing here. Kevin, I mean, I think it's rare enough to encounter a human case of rabies that people perhaps get a little bit, I don't want to say lazy, but you take it for granted. You know, you don't really think about it too often. Mm-hmm. And the risk, of course, is that someone gets bitten, doesn't realize the urgency, or isn't able to check the vaccination status of the dog that bit them, and sort of thinks, oh, well, it's not a bad bite, I'll leave that until the weekend kind of thing, not realizing that the time to act is immediate. I mean, other than doing interviews like this, what more do you think needs to be done to just raise awareness around the crucial need for a prompt response?
Well, it starts with children, because the large percentage of people who die of rabies are children.
Okay.
And as you correctly said, a large percentage of those are bites that just don't get looked at because they're small nicks on a hand. It could even be a lick with, yeah, saliva on an old wound, for example. So getting that treatment done and getting the children, we need to educate, well, the whole of the populace, but especially children, about the dangers of interacting with any dog. If you don't know the dog, don't touch it.
Yeah.
And that may be a hard thing to teach a child, but it's such a deadly disease that you can't afford it. So we have to start with the children, and we can start with them as early as possible. There's lots of programs within various provinces to do that. It goes along with dog vaccinations.
Mm.
But we say that it's the best example of a one health disease, because it's an animal infecting a person, and everybody has to work together to make sure that stops.
Kevin, the term one health disease, which you've used twice now, I think maybe we just need to explain a little bit more for listeners who've not encountered that before. It's very much the sort of the guiding a phrase, I know, behind this veterinary conference. Do you want to just elaborate a little bit about that concept of One Health? It's no longer looking at animal health separately from human health. It's recognizing the interrelatedness of these two.
Yes, and the interrelatedness of control. I mean, if people didn't die of rabies, we may not take the disease very seriously. because it doesn't even kill vast numbers like other pet diseases do. But in order to get to save people's lives, you have to have the veterinary component, you have to have the education component, you need the welfare component, health responses, etc. So One Health is essentially everybody working together for society. And maybe in rabies control, this is a very good example, because actually, what is the value of a pet in society and the value of pet to a pet to the development of a child? So the pet is important to the family. It's important to society. If the pet is dying from poisoning in the society needs to be cleaned up by the municipality. So it's everybody working together for the betterment of society, and especially where diseases like this cross that barrier. We'll call them zoonotic diseases.
Yes.
So it affects people, but the pet, the cat, the dog, they're very important to society as a whole and our future. So One Health is bringing all of those aspects together to achieve a common goal, which is the safety and security and happiness and future of our children and society.
Kevin, when you look at your specific part of that wider goal, particularly that aim of zero by 30, zero human deaths from dog-caused rabies by the year 2030, how achievable do you feel it is?
Well, there's no question about can we do it, because we have many examples in the country of how this has been done before. We ran a project in KwaZulu-Natal with the Gates Foundation. We brought the disease down by 93% and stopped all human deaths. That's been repeated in Mpumalanga province and in a smaller scale in Eastern Cape. So we know exactly what to do. The problem is that we need the political backing to scale our knowledge and effectiveness up so that we can apply this across the provinces or across the areas that are absolutely essential.
Mm.
Rabies can occur anywhere in the country, and it can be from a wildlife source as well. But in those provinces where the dogs are, we need to scale that those control measures up, which we know how to do that. We have all the science. And that will be a political decision to support a relatively small service like veterinary services so that they have the resources in order to be able to do that at that scale.
Kevin LaRue, thank you so much for your time and insight this afternoon. We really appreciate your stepping away from the conference to make a bit of time to chat to us today. Kevin going to be or has already delivered a paper on the subject of that goal of the Zero by 30 campaign. And thanks again for joining us. Kevin LaRue is the chair of the South African Rabies Advisory Group. We could have taken our pick from so many fascinating speakers taking part in the event this week. If you're interested in just learning a little bit more about the kind of conversations that are being had at this conference, simply Google World Veterinary Association or South African Veterinary Association, because we are hosting this year at the International Convention Centre here in Cape Town.